Baggertly Greenwoods is one of the oldest independent auditing, accounting and advisory firms in Cape Town. Focused on navigating the complexities of transactions and the intricacies of compliance, risk management and financial reporting. In this series, we will guide you through the complexities of today's business landscape. You are listening to Advisory Explained, a trusted perspective. Welcome back to another episode of Advisory Explained, the podcast where we break down the complex world of business advisory into clear, actionable insights. I'm your host, Kwesi Kritzinger, and I'm thrilled to have you with us today. In this episode, we're diving into a topic that sits at the heart of business transformation, corporate restructuring. Restructuring is a critical tool for businesses, whether they're looking to improve efficiency, position themselves for growth, or prepare for an exit. It's about reassessing how the company is structured and finding ways to optimize operations, protect assets, and align with strategic goals. In today's episode, we'll be covering the key reasons why businesses undergo restructuring, the steps involved in the restructuring process, and the tools that can make it smooth and efficient. We'll also highlight some of the tax-specific risks that need to be carefully managed during a restructuring exercise. So whether you are a business owner considering restructuring or a financial professional advising clients, this episode will provide you with essential insights you need to navigate this complex but necessary process. Let's get started. Corporate restructuring involves a comprehensive review and reorganization of a company's group structure to improve overall efficiency, promote growth, and protect assets. The goal is to align the company's structure with its strategic objectives, ensuring that it is optimized for future growth, risk assessment, and flexibility. Restructuring also plays a vital role in preparing businesses for potential exits, whether through divestment, sale, or transitioning of assets. A lot of people ask, why? Why would companies want to restructure? Isn't it just a money-making scheme for the advisors? Assets can be and, well, they are where they are. But we can delve into this in two different ways. The first is high level, and then we'll jump in a little bit more specific. So high level, it's risk assessment and asset allocation. So a critical part of restructuring is a thorough analysis of risks and strategically allocating assets to optimize their financial outcomes. So, small example is your grandfather might have the piece of land in his personal name. Is that really the best place for the land to sit for a future and a succession planning exercise? Or should we maybe look at putting the land in a different vehicle? That's but one of the options. A different example is the intellectual property, your trademark for your brand, essentially, is that the right place to put that asset in the same vehicle, let's call it a company, that carries a lot of risk liabilities, for instance, your rental agreements for all your clothing stores. To protect these main assets, we move them to separate vehicles where they are better suited for asset protection. A different option is also to look at local and offshore structures. Now, offshore structuring usually is either for the wealthier individuals, but also there's a lot of companies, and especially in South Africa, there's a lot of companies that does business internationally. Sometimes it's even more strategic advantageous to have an international company handling certain transactions and keeping that outside of the South African framework. When we look a little bit more specific, there are four main reasons. The one would be inefficiency in the group structure. Over time, a company's structure may become inefficient, leading to increased operational costs, redundancy, and poor resource allocation. Now, what does this mean? This means that you might have three or four different companies that you own, and in each of these, you have similar functions happening throughout. By combining certain aspects in this, we can help you reduce costs and save on inefficiencies to improve and to get you closer to your strategic goals. Next up is growth prospects. Companies often restructure to better position themselves for future growth. By optimizing their structure, businesses can enhance their ability to expand into new markets, invest in new technologies, or scale their operations efficiently. Now, we all know that a lot of banks usually look and do finance depending on how strong your balance sheet is. So it might be necessary to move certain assets around to be able to build a stronger balance sheet to help to get better financing at the end of the day. Another one of the specific reasons might be preparation for sale. When a company is preparing for a sale, restructuring becomes a key tool to increase its attractiveness to potential buyers. Now, this is done through either splitting out non-core assets out of the company. A lot of us know that you'll look at certain companies and you'll say, yes, I would really like to buy that portion, but I'm not interested in other operations. Restructuring is the tool on how to take out these assets, take out certain operations, and make a combination, a basket of an asset or a company, a group of companies possibly, more attractive and more profitable possibly to your proposed partners. Another specific reason for restructuring is a strategic planning reason. Restructuring is often the result of a long-term strategic plan. As businesses evolve, they may need to adopt their structure to better align with changing industry trends, technology advancements, or shifts in consumer demand. Strategic restructurings are proactive, designed to keep the company competitive and resilient in the face of future challenges. On that note, a lot of people, usually when they think of restructurings, the first thing that pops up in their minds is, I'm going to do a Section 42 asset for share transaction, and I'm going to change and I'm going to take out this company that's held by a trust. I'm going to put it in a holding company and then I'm just going to save dividends. It's going to cost me a lot of money. Then you've got compliance every year. So is it really necessary? Well, that's one opinion. That's one perspective of a restructure. And if that is the goal, then sure, you can do that. We'll get to the tax risks of that and if that is the mindset behind the rationale for the restructuring. But as we've seen, there are multiple reasons that will benefit companies to go through the restructuring exercise. When we look at corporate restructures, there's a few key considerations that we need to take into account. These would be ownership structures, family and estate planning, taxation, BEE, cash flow, and future growth, and where to house that future growth. When we say ownership structures, it's essential to evaluate the current ownership structures to ensure that they are all still aligned with the company's goals. This could involve consolidating ownership, diversifying stakeholders, or adjusting shares to reflect the strategic direction of the company. Streamlining ownership can simplify decision-making and provide a clearer path forward for future growth. This also means, as an example, where we have transferred an asset out of multiple shareholders, putting it into a holding company purely for sale purposes in the future, so that potential purchasers only have to negotiate with one or two main sellers and not a large group of 12 or 15 separate individual shareholders at sale. When we look at family and estate planning for family-owned businesses, restructuring should take into consideration succession planning and estate considerations. The structure should facilitate a smooth transition of ownership to the next generation while ensuring the protection of the family wealth. One of the main and key concepts that I would really like to emphasize in this podcast is that we restructure tax efficiently. We do not restructure for tax purposes. That is a big no. We don't do anything specifically for tax purposes, but we help and we do a strategic commercial restructuring that has a substance in commercial reasons in a tax-friendly or a tax-efficient manner. BE has a massive effect on a lot of companies in South Africa, including a lot of our clients. They require a certain level, a certain BEE rating to continue their business operations, or even they require a better BEE rating for future contracts and business operations. In restructuring, it's once again critical to ensure that we take the considerations of BEE into account when making decisions, so that we do not affect and we do not negatively affect especially your BEE rating, which might cause you to lose certain contracts. Therefore, understanding your environment and having an in-depth BEE department at the firm, as we do, has a massive benefit to you as a client when we go through a restructuring engagement with BEE as a consideration. Next up is cash flow. A lot of times these engagements could get quite expensive. It's a lot of time, it's specialists that go through it. So on the one side, there's costs on our side, and on the other side, it has costs to implement. For example, one of the restructurings that we recently completed was for a large property holding entity. They had multiple properties and we had to split these companies and put specific types of properties together. Like we just mentioned earlier, we look at asset allocation, putting apples with apples and pears with pears. One of these companies had shares, industrial properties, residential properties, commercial properties, and that just made quite a big mess in the company, especially for tracking revenues and really ensuring that the right assets are placed in the right areas. So on the cash flow side, one of the big implementations was moving these companies on a practical system level within the company, all of these properties from the one system over to a new system in another company. That was quite a time and a costly exercise. So we have to consider that. We have to consider what is the effect that what we are busy with and what we are advising you with, what will that have on your cash flow and will that negatively impact your business operations? Another consideration is future growth and where to put that future growth. Some of our clients come and sit with us and say, listen, I am busy planning to do an investment. I don't need assistance and guidance on should I make the investment because, well, we don't provide that kind of service. But we do advise on where would be the best place to house that asset and where to have all future growth of other assets. And that comes into play, especially with estate planning. Is an asset that produces a lot of dividends and significant growth the best place to have that in your personal capacity? Or how can we move future growth, possibly to a trust, to help you with estate planning in the future? Mm-hmm. So there's roughly about 7 steps that we consider and that we go through on each restructuring. The first is we understand your need. What is your wants? What is your pains? And what is your needs? Then we jump into the planning and the development of the structure and how we're going to get there. That involves building out a financial model, that is building a visualization of each step in the restructuring process. One thing that we like to do is we present it as a current structure, a step, and then a structure one. Step two, structure two. So that every step you can understand the complexities, where's what moving, and then how's it going to look after that specific step. After that, we go over into client confirmation. So that's where we present the restructure to you with the costs and the exercise, how we're going to do it, all the benefits, and the implementation and how this is going to affect you at the end of the day. After we get client approval, which is step 4, we have the drafting and the implementation part of it. Usually with a lot of these transactions, it's corporate assets being moved around. Therefore, you need a lot of resolutions and contracts to be in place to be able to legally move these around. Step 6 is getting everything signed when we're done. That is a process on its own. Unfortunately, admin and compliance is part of the world and the game that we are in, so this is quite a big step. Usually, you have on a larger restructuring, you've got about 1,000 pages that needs to get signed between a lot of people. So that's quite an extensive exercise on its own. And lastly is the actual implementation. So this is where we change the share registers, we update your company secretarial documents, and then we lodge and we file with CIPC all the required updates. As in each and every industry, you have different tools, things that you have that help you make better decisions, how to do stuff more efficiently, and, well, answers to problems. So in restructuring, we also have tools. So we have essentially about 5 or 6 main tools that we utilize to do different transactions, etc., and how to implement restructurings. These can be split into the first of which is the corporate rules, which is in the South African Income Tax, Section 42 to Section 47. Then we use dividends. We use different type of sale agreements. We do loans and different type of loans. And then one of my favorite, and it's something that not a lot of people really understand, and usually a lot of people are quite afraid of it, but I have absolutely fallen in love with different classes of shares. And with that, there's different rights, and you can play around quite a lot with that to achieve very specific goals, which helps the client achieve their strategic and long-term goals. So on corporate rules, just to quickly name the 5 big corporate rules that we use is Section 42, that's an asset for shares. So in essence, you give me your assets and I issue you shares. We've got Section 44, which is a Section 42, the first part, where you give me your assets, I give you shares, and then you take my shares and give it to your shareholder, and then you fall away within a period. So that's a Section 44 amalgamation. Then we go over to Section 45, which is an intra-group sale. So if we're part of the same group of companies, i.e. more than 70% effective shareholding between us in the group, then we can do an intra-group sale. So you sell me your assets, and we have quite beneficial tax treatment on that. Next up is unbundling. We've got a straight line structure, so we'll call it holding company, unbundling company, and unbundled company if we look at them from the top down all the way through. Obviously, there's a few requirements that needs to be met to be able to do an unbundling, but in essence, your bottom company, the one all the way down at the bottom, sits next to the second company at the end of the day, and therefore the holding company holds shares directly in two companies and not in a single company anymore. Therefore, it's quite a nice, neat tool to strip out a company out of another company if you don't want to house it there anymore. And then lastly is a Section 47 liquidation. So when you realize a company at the end of the day and you close it down, there's quite a lot of costs and tax that needs to be paid at that point in time. But if you do it through a 47, a Section 47 transaction, we can minimize a lot of that. There's some costs in it, but at least you've got the tax benefit. Obviously, on all of these, there's a lot of requirements that you need to meet before we can do the transactions, as well as stuff that has to happen afterwards. But these are quite interesting rules and tools that we can use. On dividends, I really like share buybacks. You need to not only just understand the tax side of it, but also the Companies Act effect of a share buyback. Loans, we can renegotiate different loan terms between group companies, between external companies. Also, capitalization of loans. That's where we take a loan and we change it into a share, essentially. Lastly, we've touched on it, share classes, A, B, C, D, and all the way down. Different share classes, and we draft and we build bespoke terms for each of these shares to create a specific need and a solution for that need. Next up is tax-specific risks for restructurings. Like we mentioned earlier, we do not restructure for tax, but we restructure tax efficiently. The reason for that is one very, very, very important rule. And that is in the Income Tax Act, there is a section, a area, a very important part called GAR. GAR stands for the General Anti-Avoidance Rules. So in essence, these rules are designed to prevent companies from engaging in tax avoidance through transactions that lack commercial substance. So there's a bunch of rules and questions and requirements to see if the transactions that you are busy with fails the GAR test or not. So just high level, some of these are: does the transaction lack commercial substance? Is it a simulated transaction in essence? However, simulation is common law and that's a risk on its own, but we'll get there. Next up, is the transaction abnormal or artificial? Is the sole or main purpose of the transaction to avoid or reduce tax? Does the transaction result in significant tax benefits? Is there any misuse or abuse of the provisions in the Income Tax Act? So these are just some of the questions that we have to ask when every time we do a transaction. Is it necessary? Are we going to fail the GAR test? And if it does, if it fails the GAR test, then the onus is upon us and we need to make sure that we can't advise and promote possibly even a structure to a client which will put them at risk. Because at the end of the day, it's the client that will fail the GAR test. And you, as the advisor, will have not been doing your job to be a trusted advisor because you're not putting your client first. Another tax-specific risk that we have to look at and always ensure of is capital gains. A lot of these transactions that we do might have actual or deemed disposals, which might, and a lot of times does, trigger capital gains tax. But how do we do it efficiently? How do we make sure that we do transactions in a compliant way, but also in an efficient way? I touched on it real quick a little bit earlier, called simulation. In this context, the tax authorities might determine that a restructuring transaction is a simulation. an arrangement created to disguise the true intent, which is tax avoidance. This poses significant risk to companies if transactions are seen as not genuine. Another tax-specific risk is the incorrect use of complex transactions. So what that entails, the incorrect interpretation of tax legislation or even normal legislation. Another very, very complex topic, but which is absolutely important, and a lot of people miss this, is a thing called dividend stripping. And what is the effect of dividend stripping, and how does that affect future transactions, past transactions, and current restructurings? We also have to look at value shifting. Are you giving me assets which are worth more or less than shares which I am giving you? And what is the implication for both you and I in that exercise? We need to consider the deeming provisions. Deemed sales, deemed dividends, deemed donations, deemed interest. All of these deeming provisions in the Income Tax Act has a significant impact, and you need to consider them on every step of every transaction you are doing. And then one big, big thing is timing. Time is everything. So when are you doing transactions? What is the lapse of time between different transactions? For instance, when we hop back just one step and we look at the tools, the Section 42 to 47s, all of these have timing restrictions, timing limitations, and specific deadlines for transactions and how transactions and group structures must look at the end of the day after you've implemented these. For instance, Section 45 requires a 6-year rule of unbundling. You are not allowed to degroup. That means the seller and the purchaser must, for a period of 6 years, stay within the same group of companies. Otherwise, the Section 45 corporate rule is pulled back and you are taken back into time to pay all the tax on that transaction, and it's deemed void. So as you can see, there are a lot of tax-specific risks that needs to be considered on every single restructuring step. The question is, what is the role of advisors in corporate restructurings? Advisors bring critical skills and expertise to the restructuring process. Their ability to assess a company's current situation, project future needs, and craft a clear strategic plan is crucial to the success of the restructure. One of the main roles of an advisor is to bring expert technical knowledge on multiple fields to every transaction. This includes tax, accounting, legal, BEE, exchange control, etc. Just to name a few, every restructure, for argument's sake, will have a tax effect. How do you actually complete what we have just done on a tax return? Your advisor should be able to assist you with that. A lot of these restructurings have quite complex accounting that has to take place. Therefore, your advisor needs to be able to advise you in exactly each and every step how to account for this, so that at the end of your financial year, your auditor can sign off on what you did throughout the year. Legal, drafting of agreements, resolutions, and managing the regulatory filings. BEE compliance is absolutely crucial, especially in South Africa. And in the one big thing that not a lot of people have experience on, in-depth knowledge on, and really knows how the process works, and that's called exchange control. So in South Africa, we unfortunately are governed, in my opinion, by the Reserve Bank. So it has its very good sides, but also it makes the process for doing international business a bit slow and a bit difficult. And it's just another compliance hop that you have to go through. We know it's required, so we comply with it. But your advisor is required, in my opinion, to be able to navigate those waters with you, to take your hand, to show you, listen, this is what is required, how to create the correct, we like to call it pack of documents, which needs to be submitted for a quick and easy process to make sure that your international transactions, dealings, and funds that needs to flow is done so efficiently. If you hold on to this podcast and you keep on following us, we'll bring on two separate individuals who will be assisting and will be guiding us through some of the complexities that not just touches on exchange control, but on Forex itself. Lastly, one of the big roles for advisors is to have experience and knowledge on the implementation and pitfalls. At the end of the day, implementation is absolutely everything. An idea is just an idea. If you can't implement it, if you can't take it over the line, then all you have done is wasted time. So it's absolutely crucial for your advisor to be able to take the plan they made over the line. This brings us to the end of today's episode on corporate restructuring. We've covered a lot of ground, from understanding why businesses restructure to walking through the critical steps in the process and even highlighting the importance of using the right tools while ensuring compliance with all fronts, tax, BE, legal, and beyond. Restructuring isn't just about making changes for the sake of change. It's about strategically positioning your business for the future. It's about protecting your assets, building resilience, and optimizing for growth while staying fully compliant. Whether you're planning for expansion, managing risk, or preparing for a sale, the steps we've discussed today are essential in guiding your decisions. As always, the key takeaway here is that restructuring is a tailored process. Each business is unique, and the right structure can unlock efficiency, value, and long-term sustainability. If you're considering restructuring, make sure you have the right advisors by your side to guide you through each step with the expertise and clarity. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes where we break down even more critical topics. Until next time, I'm Kosi Kritzinger, and we look forward to guiding you in your business journey. Thank you for listening to Advisory Explained, a trusted perspective, a podcast by Baker Tilly Greenwood. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and reach out to us via our website, bakertillygreenwoods.co.za.